The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 25th of April, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. We've got a full show today. We are hoping for representatives from the World Athletic Relays to join us this morning, but maybe they not come in. We're not sure. We leave space for them. But April is Poetry Month. And so today, on this, call it a Culture Thursday, I have a guest joining me from last year's Poetry Month show, Mr. Andrew Gomez. He's going to read some poetry for us. We're going to talk some poetry. I have Mr. Nuri in studio with me. Sir, pass me that book, please. Mr. Nuri does not like to publish this information, but he has published several books of poetry, including Fattening Up Frog for Snake. We're going to read through that a bit. I'm inviting the audience callers to call in and share your own poetry for Poetry Month. I'm also going to offer up an incentive for my poets. I will offer to anyone that calls in to read a poem or texts in a poem for me to read that is their original work or is written by a Bahamian. You can get one local fruit lemonade or one local fruit rum finger from Seasonal Sunshine, Bahamas. So if you call in today, you read a poem, you get a local fruit lemonade. It may be mulberry, it may be guanap, it may be star fruit, it may be passion fruit. It could be mango, it may be cherry. And the same thing for the rum fingers. It could be dilly, it could be guanap. Could be scarlet plum or juju, passion fruit, could even be hot pepper, rum infusion. I got a text here already. Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm from Fox Hill. Are you from here too? That sound like the players, what do you call that, a prologue? Mr. Gomez, what you call that part where you introduce the poem? With a few words. Is that the prologue?
It could be.
That's the prologue to a love affair. Oh. Roses are red and violets are blue. I'm from Fox Hill. Where are you? Why are you not here with me in the sweetest part at the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? Mr. Nuri. Good morning, sir.
Good evening this morning. How are you doing, Erin?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you very much for allowing me to join you today on your poetry. It was Poetry Week or Poetry Month?
It's Poetry Month. So
the whole entire month is poetry?
Right. We celebrate with our North American cousins, Canada and the United States of America.
Okay.
We celebrate Poetry Month with them.
Thank God for the Americans. Something to celebrate.
That's a poem title, eh?
Do we have any kind of national anthology? Like a national literature organization? Like, does the schools come together and say, hey, we're having a poetry competition. Let your best poet come forth.
I don't know if there is a specific national poetry competition, but we have the Clement E. Bethel competition.
Yeah, well, the child was on that yesterday. Yesterday, she's competing, singing songs. Clement E. Bethel.
Singing songs. But there's a poetry segment for those that event. But you say for the church, for the school.
For the school. The school and the church need the same thing.
Oh, okay. For the school.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I can't believe you didn't call her up and tell her, miss, you may have to perform.
I'm just grateful that the teachers, the organizers decided to record it. So, you know, you get that clipping and say, oh, look at my child go.
Mm-hmm. I have one of my favorite poems by Ona Bailey.
Okay.
I want to read today. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You will let me read one of your poems? Will you select one of your poems from your book for me to read?
That's your book. I surprised you still have the book. I don't have a copy of the book.
That's not the point. That's not the point, sir. The point is now that you have a copy of your own book in front of you, I want you to select one.
Man, you open to any page and read whatever there.
Here's another poetry book, the Bahamas Constitutional Commission.
That's versing in poetry there.
And fiction and some nonfiction in it as well. I have Lyrical Gymnastics by Tayokin Bethel.
I definitely don't have this book.
Right. I have Perspectives from Inner Windows by Cheryl Albury.
I have that book.
I have a copy of a student journal, Tamarind, Volume 2, 2006, produced by the School of English Studies and College of the Bahamas.
I have one and two.
That has some poetry in it.
That's a good book.
Then I have How to Be a True, True Bahamian and More Talking Bahamian by Patricia Glinton McCullis. This is not poetry, but this is so that you could interpret the words.
Yes.
Like how when you're reading Shakespeare, you have to become familiar with the language so you could understand the poetry. Mm-hmm. So I bring some Patricia McCullis Glinton in. So in case we have to interpret some of these
you
words.
You have an entire library.
This is a little small thing. And I have an evening in
Guanahani.
In Guanima.
Oh, that ain't Telsin Turner?
No, that's Patricia Glinton.
Ah.
And then I have Growing Up in Paradise, a story of one woman's journey through the New World by Daphne Wallace Whitfield.
Really?
I have poems.
Oh, this is a poetry book.
1968 to 1970, The Road by Robert Elliot Johnson. And I brought this because I still haven't found out if Robert Elliot Johnson is a Bahamian, but that name, but there you go.
That's one of the first poetry books I got. And this is one of the first poetry books published. Mm-hmm. This is a big thing for the Bahamas. Besides the Boyd gentleman, who is like during slavery, he published a book. Yeah, Boyd.
No, okay, so you're going to take a little time to tell us more about that.
Boyd?
Yes.
He's just one of the first Africans.
He's
just one of the first Africans who published a book. It was a big deal back then in the 1800s.
Yes.
That this African could put things in verse and be published.
In the Bahamas.
In the Bahamas.
And that's the type of history that I'm looking for today, Mr. Nuri. And then I have Saltwater Healing by Angelique V. Nixon.
You have a good collection. I'm jealous. Some of these books I've never heard of and haven't seen.
And then,
if I was still living on E Street, I was going to wait till you used the bathroom and then you wouldn't see it no more. But I'd see
it. I mean, you would have procured it.
Yeah, I would
for a greater purpose.
I would have ascended it to glorious places.
And I think we have to use, and jump in at any time, Mr. Gomez, I think we have to use different language when we're talking about the
procuring?
Appropriation and procuring of books.
I would have colonized it like no Europeans.
Man. Right? Because books contain ideas. Ideas cannot be captured or owned by one person.
Correct.
Right? And you try to put it in a book to say, well, I own this idea. You can see I put it in this book. Right? But you can't necessarily own an idea. Once you birth that idea and present it to the public consciousness, it becomes a different thing, right? And so I don't know if we could just say, well, Mr. Nuri, I don't appreciate that you teeth my book. I may have to say, Mr. Nuri, I appreciate that you value the information in the book perhaps more than I do.
Yes.
And I hope that when you procure it for a purpose greater than both you and I. It's Stephen Book, same way. And for people who have a passion for books, who love books, that's what it feels like. Mm-hmm. And that's happened to me many times.
Really?
Losing a treasured book is like losing a treasured friend, a loved one. And you really want it back, but you also know that you can't own it. You can't hold the ideas in it to yourself, so you must let it go.
I feel some kind of way because a friend recently lent me a book to read, and I've been holding on it for a couple of months now. So.
Mm-hmm. And then when he comes to your house for his book, you should have a form for him to fill out,
right,
so that he can prove that he knows how to take care of the book, that he will give the book as much love as the book received while it was in your care.
Right, right.
Yes. So, Mr. Burroughs, please... introduce yourself. Gomez, Mr. Gomez, introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, why you decided to become a poet, and then I want you to bless us with one of your works.
Okay. Give me a second. I got to be a little tacky because we in that age, that day and age now. So good morning, Bahamas, and thank you, Aaron, for having me on the show once again. My name is Andrew Gomez. I am an author and spoken word artist. Most of my work tailors around my life. I tend to use my life as a muse to share my work with everyone and anyone who comes into, you know, my work, whether that be from performance or reading the book.
Mm-hmm.
Themes of my work really tailor around just the everyday ups and downs of life, whether that be experiences at church, experiences with family, friends, loved ones, the 9-to-5, relationships, mm-hmm. the whole works. And I published my first book in 2020 titled The Safe House. That really focuses on the aspect of my life from childhood up until graduating from undergrad and trying to find my placement in the world and find myself, purpose, and all the things that young men really struggle with, you mm-hmm. know, along the journey of that. And now I'm trying to broaden my scope by becoming more aware of social ills going on in the country so I could write about them instead of just focusing on myself. So I'm just trying to tap into a little bit of everything while staying genuine to myself through it all. My inspiration into poetry or into why I became a poet is kind of funny because I started off doing like hip-hop rapping, and that was something I was passionate about from a child. And up until I graduated from high school going into UB, I was, I guess, exposed to the other nuances of life that I had no idea was going on because I was so sheltered or coddled or protected mm-hmm. from my parents. So now I'm experiencing, you know, what it's like to be a bit more independent, the challenges that come with that. And it opened my eyes.
So let me ask you a question before we get into the poem. Would you say you grew out of rap?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting. I was on Beyonce's internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I moved between Putin's internet and Beyonce's internet, right?
Right.
And there was this rap battle.
Mm-hmm.
I like listening to rap battles and rap in general. I want to hear what, in particular, younger people are saying. I also feel like my generation of rappers, I'm like Andre 3000.
Okay.
And he produced his flute album, right? Mm-hmm. And people were upset at him because they were expecting a new rap album. And
right.
He's like, man, listen, I'm 40.
Right.
What you expect me to be rapping about in this industry? But in this rap battle, guys are rapping. And then in the commentary, these two guys are going back and forth about Eminem and somebody else from Detroit.
Right.
And I just responded like, that's a cool story, bro.
Mm-hmm.
But people in Flint, Michigan haven't had clean water. In like 5,000 days,
wow.
You know, or plus. Because they were battling over who's the king of Detroit. And I was like,
right.
But look at Flint, Michigan over there. They ain't got no water.
Right.
And these guys, they attacked me. It's Beyonce's internet. I came
right.
with the padding, right? I just thought it was an interesting snapshot
mm-hmm.
of urban generational development.
Gotcha.
Right? And I wonder, what do rappers do, what do lyricists do when they age out of mainstream hip-hop? Mm. Andre 3000 found another avenue
right.
to channel his energy and his passion through. But then I wonder, are rappers making more mature rap? Like, I want to hear some boy them rapping about being in the 7-Eleven, and these boy them keep asking me for my senior citizen card.
I think there are artists out there that are doing that. I think is often overshadowed by the more talented or more popular artists. Mm-hmm. You know, today, those who have their marketing team together and pushing their brand and what they represent through their music. So I think it's a battle of that and just trying to find your placement. And often artists experience, there comes a point in an artist's life and they're like, do I still want to do this? Am I still as passionate as I once was? And it's in that moment of reflecting whether they decide to pivot into something else or just ultimately keep pushing forward.
Mm-hmm.
But it really depends on each individual artist. I really can't speak to it. But for me,
mm-hmm.
what I could say, there were many factors. There was the direction I wanted my life to go in, and was me doing rap still on brand with who I am becoming, mm-hmm. as opposed to who I was, as well as the content. You know, hip hop rap is a lot of braggadocio. It's a lot of
unless you J. Cole.
Yeah.
Say bless up for J. Cole to apologizing for Kendrick Lamar. J. Cole said, listen, I didn't realize y'all was serious mm-hmm. about this beef right. thing.
You know, so like for me, I just came to a point in my life where I was like, you know what? I mean, it's cool. I have a great appreciation for it, but I want to use my talent, you know, and take it in another direction to bring more uplifting and more moral support for other people, who other creators who may be experiencing what I'm experiencing, as well as just open up the avenue, you know.
Mm-hmm. So we have, I think, like lawyers, mm-hmm. we may have the highest number of poets per capita
mm.
in the world. Right.
Okay.
And I think a lot of our poets feel or felt like they've aged out of poetry.
Really?
They've aged out of spoken word. Like, I'm sure, because I see the work, right?
Right.
And you speak to these people and you hear the poetry in their voice, right? And then you realize, and then I think to myself, is it that there is no avenue? Like, when you said that it's really incumbent upon the artist to carve out a brand,
mm-hmm.
to construct a team. And I see that so that you can continue to carve out a place for yourself
right.
in mainstream, right? And so I wonder, what do you think? If we had a poet laureate, if we had the national title mm-hmm. of poet laureate like Jamaica does,
right.
do you think we would see a lot more people writing and or sharing their poetry? Because I think people are writing, mm-hmm. they're just not publishing and sharing it.
I think if we had an official like poet laureate, that would be motivation
mm-hmm.
for others to step forward and to the limelight and sharing their work. As far as poets feeling phased out of poetry, I've had some conversations with some poets about that, and I just don't agree with that. I don't understand them saying that, because to me, it's like, when I was doing the rap, I felt boxed in because I know what was popular to talk about. In poetry, mm-hmm. I have free range to talk about whatever I want to talk about. That mm-hmm. could be my life. That could be the story in the paper. That could be me walking from my car in the house and seeing something, seeing the birds chirp, or on my way to the station, something I may have seen in passing. Mm-hmm. There's so many things I could talk about. I could talk about Bahamian culture. You know, I could talk about the impact that Bahamian culture has had on me as a writer, what I like, what I dislike, the in-betweens. You know, there's so many things, and I don't think one can really be phased out of it. There may be a point in time where you may feel you need to take a break, which we all do because mm-hmm. burnout is real, but even that in itself, you could write about burnout. You could yeah. write about how you feel. So,
exactly. Yeah. And just as you were speaking, I'm thinking, the next hip-hop I'll hear,
mm-hmm.
I want somebody to listen to sit themselves in Andre 3000's flute album and then take samples from it,
uh-huh.
right, to make a hip-hop album. Because The fact that Andre 3000 transitioned to another genre mm-hmm. of creation doesn't mean that he's out of hip-hop or he doesn't have hip-hop in his heart when he's creating that flute music. So the thing I'm looking forward to is who is sampling, who in the hip-hop world has this affinity with Andre 3000, sees the value in what it is that he's produced, and takes it back into the hip-hop world.
I mean, you may have to spearhead that. I mean, I'm glad that you're putting the idea out there. Because you mentioned ideas, we don't want these ideas.
Right.
So you put the idea out and maybe a listener may feel that and run with the idea. I think another aspect of being a creative is knowing or distinguishing between the hobby of it, the fun side of it, and releasing those thoughts and sharing those thoughts. But then there's a business aspect of it as well. And a lot of people don't really understand that or are still learning because it's a growing process, it's a growing space. And I find that the business of whether that be doing music or being like creative and doing poetry, the business side of things can often, you know, run people away from it because, you know, it's not all fun and games. It's not all smiling. At the end of the day, what making sense, you know, you don't want to be in the red, you know, so you gotta do what makes sense. And sometimes what makes sense may not really be in alignment with the person that you are or your values. And that's a whole nother conversation, but that is also a factor that plays a significant role.
Mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely. Yeah.
I know you mentioned a business aspect of it, right? Mm-hmm. I see you've published a book. That's your book right there, right? Is there money in that? Can there be a income from being a poet? I know Michael...
Obadiah
Michael Smith.
Yeah.
He's a full-time poet. He doesn't do anything else but poetry.
That's a blessing.
He don't make much money. I say he's doing well. Yeah, I just said that this is what he does.
That's a blessing.
He come and perform. You give him whatever token you give him and he survives or...
I got you.
Right, I'm not sure if that's a lucrative proposition.
Now,
in the Bahamas,
in and of itself, it may not seem like a lucrative proposition, but when you add the "in the Bahamas" part, now the dynamics change
significantly
because your audience is not limited to Bahamians on the ground. I know that Bahamian poets get tremendous support from Bahamians in the diaspora. Right, because Bahamians in the diaspora will collect anything that's Bahamian, right? Poetry, music, anything. But there are, with the Deputy Prime Minister, I can call him Deputy Prime Minister today, 9 million plus tourists, right? Tourist numbers are jumping up. There are multiple ways that you can market your poetry, your creative product to the tourists that come here. You have the heads and beds tourists, the stayover tourists. So there are shows that you can perform, right? And you get paid through a regular performance. Then we have spots like Rawson Square and Pompey Square where poets should be posted.
Yes.
They should have a space set out for them where they can read poetry. And then you have signs up. So tourists know, listen, every hour, on the hour, there'll be 30 minutes of poetry. Then there'll be a break. Then there'll be a new artist.
Yes.
Right? You can sell postcards with your poetry on it.
Right?
There's the image, because we know images sell postcards, and then there's the poetry beneath it, right? Yeah. Or on the side or behind it. There are many ways, but most importantly, you then become exposed to millions more people than your own population. So I think it's about creating systems that poets can tie into. And since we are a tourism-based nation, looking for content, right? And culture can be our content to sell them.
Right.
I think that's not unfathomable, that poets can begin to derive a reasonable income from performing locally as a part of the national tourism product.
I have mixed views on this talk because I receive and I believe in everything you're saying. I think when it comes to how, when you look at the final product and someone who's doing that and they look at, okay, the money coming in compared to the money going out, whether that be going out in terms of the cost of production or manufacturing and then the regular bills they have to pay, it might not be lucrative. It may not be the balance, but there's money there, and it all comes back to how you market that and how do you utilize yourself to impact whatever demographic you're targeting. In the Bahamas, it's challenging. But mm-hmm. if you broaden the scope,
you're talking. Much wider right. audience. All right, give me 1 second. The numbers to call, 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. 242-300-5720 for Family Island residents. It is toll free. Give us a call. Mr. Nuri, could you type the call numbers to that texter there? I'm sorry it took me so long to see your texter. Okay, Mr. Gomez, we go in to your poem. When we finish with your poem, at some point in the show, mm-hmm. Let's get back to the tech aspect, right?
Gotcha.
Because I see you have your camera. You document everything that you do. Is it for inspiration? Is it so you could capture something that you may have said in an improv mm-hmm. kind of way, make sure you have it, but also to document your work?
It's all of that. And also, if it's from a performance aspect, I look at it and be like, okay, maybe I could have said this line a bit differently. So ways to improve my performance right. as well.
So I got a caller on the line.
Okay.
It looked like they can preempt your poem. Then go to the caller, and then you're going to tell us the name of your book, and you're going to read us a poem. Good morning, caller. Okay.
Yes, good morning, Aaron. Good morning to your guest.
Morning, Pumpkin. How are you doing?
I'm just wondering. I used to write in the past poetry, and I'm just wondering. Should we set up an organization, or where we meet by Zoom and set up where you get more people to write? I know several people used to write in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But they said there is no effort, not only avenue, but there's no effort and money and finance.
Okay, yeah.
So what makes sense, me setting up a writing program. I remember they started one when Chrissy Love used to be in town.
Yeah, and then I
on
know
a show.
Helen Clinaris and a number of other writers, mm-hmm. Asha, Lalawati Raming, Marion mm-hmm. Bethel, they had a Bahamas Writers Summer Institute.
Yeah, that was a good start, but mm-hmm. but it dropped.
Yeah.
I think it's encouraging me to start writing, but now we need a consistency.
Well, I can call you every day, like your Grammy, and tell you get on the writing.
There's something to be done once the avenue is there.
Absolutely, in fact.
You mentioned the selling with the deputy prime and all that, but you need a
local base.
A local base. We can sit together, get together, talk on Zoom, set up an organization,
mm-hmm.
and go from there.
I with you, Pumpkin Eater.
Maybe someone could lead it. Okay.
Don't mind with you. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Because you'd be surprised. You see, we got a new generation of a local artist, Rican scrape, hip-hop, rock, and artists pull from what's available amongst them, right? Like what comes up out of their own culture, that's what they pull from.
Right.
And people like Shine and Johnny Cake, man, they writing poetry every day, but they're incorporating these ideas that they hear in the public in the public space into their rake and scrape, right?
Right.
And so the more poets we have, the more content that our musicians have to pull from.
Now, music gets stronger. Our writing gets stronger. We have an avenue that is. They just put the park, what they call it, and the CS66 step.
Yeah. We need that's it. Thank you, Pumpkin Eater. I got another caller on the line. You said it just now. We just had a whole performance of poetry around the revitalization
right.
of the 66 steps, right? Like, make it an event. Good morning, caller.
Hi, good morning. Calling to read a poem?
Yes, ma'am. Now, listen, when you finish reading your poem, because the producer will take your information so I could connect you to your prize, okay?
Okay.
All right, be ready for you, ma'am.
Okay, it's called Alone.
All right.
Can anyone hear me? I am screaming, but no one cares. It feels like I am dreaming, but I am awake, unaware. I am visible, but invisible. They are looking at me, but don't see me. I am crying, but they don't see my tears. I am afraid, but they don't see my fears. I am hurting, but they don't feel my pain. From this world, I have nothing to gain. No one who loves or who cares. No solid rock, only stumbling blocks. I am a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, a friend. From sin to insanity, I am so slowly slipping. But I am gripping firmly to life. I just can't let go. I am alone, and it's dark. The walls are tall, and there's no escape. Strength I lack, but I only see their backs. Shoulders that used to hold has all gone cold. I hear their laughter, and I see their smiles. They are having a party all the while. In the darkness, I stumble and fumble to find the light. And now my world is becoming bright. The road is far from easy, and the journey is far from over. But one day at a time, and I know the victory will be mine. I will continue to fight, for I am strong, confident, and beautiful. I have overcome the darkness, pain, and fear. For with God at my side, there is absolutely nothing alone to bear.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Now listen, take the caller's number. Ma'am, I want you to, every year, you must gather all the children in your family, with their parents, but then the focus is on the children, and you must read that poem. You must read that poem to them regularly. That's like a piece of armor they could have on their chest to carry around with them. That's a beautiful, beautiful piece of work. So I'm gonna, the producer's gonna take your contact information. I'm gonna call you and arrange this pickup delivery of, you let him know, well, you let me know, a lemonade or a rum finger, all local fruit products, Mr. Gomez. I love that poem. Like, because I'm thinking, that's the type of poem that everybody connects to. Mm-hmm. As an LGBTI advocate doing this work, you know, I realized that the average person feels like how LGBTI people feel, you know, a lot of the time. Like, you look and realize that a lot of these people, they feel like they're being excluded. Mm-hmm. They feel like they're being oppressed. They feel like not just that nobody understands them, but nobody is trying to understand them and to connect with them. And that poem is just like, everybody has had that feeling at some point in their life. And I think that's why it's so powerful, and so powerful to introduce your children to that poem as soon as possible, so that they could know at a young age, man, my Grammy write this. My Grammy write this. How she know what I feeling? Maybe she's feeling the same things I was feeling at some point in her childhood, but maybe she's still feeling it right now. And I could feel more confident that I'm not alone in this feeling. Mm-hmm. Just knowing that you're not alone in the feeling is a boost. Okay, Mr. Gomez, let's get to your book and the poem.
So, man, that poem, that was deep. That was deep. I feel that, you know, it kind of have me looking at the poems I had selected and like, man, because I have two.
Okay.
But I think I should just focus on one.
Okay.
So this is a poem from my book, A Safe House. Mm-hmm. And the title of the book, the title of the poem is PTSD, normally known as post-traumatic stress disorder. But I wrote this from the aspect of the stress that one feels after graduating from university. There are days when anxiety gets the best of me. On those days, I feel less human, feel more like machine than man. I'm tired, but can't show I'm tired. I'm restless, but can't show I'm restless. I'm silent, like the stress in the corner of this room. I'm patient, like the grief at my bedside. I'm sleepy, but must stay woke to survive. I'm anxious, because I am not surviving. I'm dying from trying to live a dream. This dream is not how I imagine. When a post-grad meets PTSD, he will realize the world owes him nothing. In fact, he will realize his world has just begun. He will struggle to find his place in society while anxiety makes a home of his mind. He will look at his friends as strangers, unable to recognize their beings, unable to help his day have found purpose in job and career, while the fear of being a loser still haunts him. He will be overlooked, misjudged. His confidence will rave in depression. His girlfriend will ask if he's okay. He lie and say he is, and while she sleeps, his worries will keep him awake. His parents will bombard him with questions, asking what's next, like he be a gypsy, like he be an all-knowing God, like he don't ever get tired. Tired telling time will tell it all. But how come time don't tell his tired, tell his pain, tell us the root of his problems? I guess it don't care, or maybe it don't got the answer sway. So I Kanye shrug, but I ain't got Yeezys to boost my self-esteem. So I pray, and I pray, and I pray, and I hope that my prayers be answered, that my words don't fall on deaf ears or gray skies or wherever that heaven may be, because I am tired of feeling so anxious and alone. Poem.
So, thank you, thank you, thank you.
And I like that commentary you made after her poem. I think what connects people to people and what connects these poems with everyone else is the experiences, the relatability of it all. And I think we often forget that regardless of how people identify, whatever people believe, we are all human, we are all people, and we all go through that experience, you know, and there are some common things through it all, and the hardships of life is definitely one of them. And I think bringing light to that creates one awareness, and two, I guess, comfort to others knowing that, hey, I am not alone. I go through this too. So I just wanted to share that right, Greg.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, I've got a poem from the text line. It says, roses on my shoulder, slippers on my feet. I am daddy's black-eyed baby. Don't you think I look sweet? Now, is that a lyric from a poem, from a song, Mr. Nuri?
I don't know, but I've heard it before. I heard this particular poem verse before. Yes. Maybe from the same text or like sent it before.
I like that one though.
Very short and quick. I have a poem that's titled, Why Do Grown Men Sit Every Day and Lotion Each Other When They Know That Poor Women Rely on Avon to Provide for Their Children?
That makes sense.
It's just short.
That's deep.
Yeah. I haven't gotten past the title yet, but I'm working on it.
That's a whole poem right there. That's like a haiku type stuff.
Yeah. I got a text here, Mr. Gomez. That was a wonderful poem.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's a wonderful poem. And to the caller, that was a wonderful poem. And thank you so much for calling in to read. Now, I got a special book here.
Mm-hmm.
A gift from a guest last week.
I know that book.
Jermaine Roll and his daughter, Ajanae Roll.
That's poetry too?
Yeah, from the depths of A Rendezvous with Poetry. And he also shared Cries of a Poetic Soul, a collection of romantic poetry. Yes, so we're going to share these, because you could use the poet. Like, I just feel like, you notice I don't have any children, right?
Yeah.
That's because apparently I don't take care of them well enough. But the point is, maybe you could take care of these books better than me. So I want to read this one. It's called Son of a Gun. Steel forged in backyard fires, no excuse. Cold, hard, strong tools of the trade. Echo. Feet scramble, heavy panting. Must exercise the demons. Mandatory workout. Spinning's fair, getting hotter. Sun has high aspirations. Street pharmacology, no degree. Product of the population. Poisoning prospectors. Promising perspective. Producing plague. Prospering pharmacy executing properly. Triggers jealousy. And the echoes ring again faster. Feet beat the street faster. Don't stop. Must survive. Urban warrior or perversion of steel. No more sphere. Clips work continues. Even luck gets tired of running. Flashes of light illuminates so close. On his back, he sees stars. Air escapes his lungs, but he doesn't. One last sight. Gasping, he sees an automatic flash from his father. Boom. That was written by Jermaine Roll. And Ajanae Roll is the chair of the Bahamas Poetry Competition Committee. Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Roll.
I'm looking through this book by Mr. Roll, Cries of a Poetic Soul, right? A collection of romantic poetry. There are 50 poems inside this book.
Listen, gentlemen, don't let Valentine's Day meet you next year with no gift. What you could do is you can grab one of these books, you can grab this book, Cries of a Poetic Soul, and you can memorize one of these poems. And you're going to serenade your loved one.
Gomez, how many poetry inside your book? Poems in your book?
I think about 64.
My God.
Yeah, 64.
How many poems inside your book, fattening up frog for snakes?
I do not know. Like, this is an old book, and I was thumbing through that book, right? And I realized I was young. The words are youthful. I no longer speak like that. I mean, I every so often I dabble into poetry, right?
Yeah.
And say, okay, I got to write this down, right, to record it. And I don't talk like this.
No anymore.
Problem. Anymore.
In fact, I have a number of pieces of poetry in various books of them up. Wow. I have this great, and it's me having to work on myself.
Right.
But I don't want to see them. There's only a small, like I have a small collection of about 5 poems that I like.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else, I've just like, that's not me. I'm not that person anymore.
Right.
I don't even want to see the poetry anymore. But maybe that's why you have to write it in a book. That's why you have to publish it.
Yes.
Because you alone cannot determine
the value of it.
Of your own work.
Because I was thumbing through the book, and some of them would say, "Oh, I wouldn't let anyone read this."
Yeah.
But now it's recorded. It's etched in time.
There's nothing you could do about it.
Yeah, you know.
So I'm gonna read this. You can find one for me.
I can find
okay,
one.
You find one, and I'm gonna read this poem by again Ona Bailey. All right. Fattening up frog for snake is for you.
Like I said, I went thumbed through the book, right?
All
right. I said, they're juvenile. Hopefully this particular poem shows some maturity of me. I think I was 19.
Wow.
19 when I published
this
that.
Book?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, 19.
Wow. Okay. Frog for Snake by C.A. Newry.
A 19-year-old.
By a 19-year-old C.A. Newry, a former man. This is a story that most men know, and many women confess that it is true. That there are some women in this world who make men into fools. And this is a ballad of such a woman who was a diamond trapped in coal, who needed the pressure of a great man in order to be cut, polished, mold. And in a small town where most men were pigs, there lived one who was the king of the swines, for even though he wallowed in mud, he appreciated what was divine. He was said to be a scholar amongst men, for they say he was smarter than the rest, and he studied the arts, men's character and nature, and he tried to surround himself with the best. Thus it was within his nature to improve upon things, to make what was good even better. So when he saw this woman of raw talents, he knew that he had to have her. Thus he pursued her with valor and cherished her talents and worked on improving her stature. He accepted her faults and expanded her thinking and proved to her that to him her past did not matter. On this woman did bloom to be a splendor in the eyes of men. As she was desired and sought after by them all, and many gifts to her they did send. She was no longer just a woman, but a lady of class, one that demanded high respect. For even the ruffians humbled in her presence, for they knew she was of a different sect. And the king of swines was proud of his work, and he gloated about his newfound love, forcing the pigs of the sty to jeer and cry and to mimic that this union had no love. Look at him there boasting so unaware. He just there fattening up frog for snake, investing all that money to fine-tune that gal just for some other man to take. And though enraged, King Swine said no word, just his breath he didn't take. For he knew men get jealous when other men are happy. Thus he remained quiet for quiet's sake. However, as time went on, this lady fair, realizing that she was divine, decided that it was far below her standards to be in love with just a simple swine. Thus she begged to be friends with the pig and reiterated that. But unfortunately at present, she wanted to experience the love of another. Now I am sure that you have realized that this swine was me, a porker that had evidently been used, and the lovely lady, well, her name is unimportant, but she knows that this man's heart she had abused. Boom.
Wow.
C.A. Newry. Fattening up frog for snake.
A 19-year-old C.A. Newry who doesn't write like that anymore. They use different type of words. But I do tell stories. And most of my poetry now and then are ballads that tells stories. And so that is a ballad of a story.
All right. I got to send.
I like that, though.
Text here says, tell CA Red Woman do it to you too.
All the time. All the time.
Mr. Newry, it seems that we need a ballad of the Elutra pineapple. A ballad of the Elutra pineapple.
No, man. Don't say that.
Don't say it out loud.
Don't say that.
Don't go to Elutra or Long Island and say it.
No,
don't say that. I'm going to send a shout out to Seymour. Mm-hmm. Arthur Seymour, poet, spoken word artist. He took his work into videography, so he made videos of his performance and of the poetry itself. A shout out to Sonia Farmer, to Christian Campbell, Rhodes Scholar. Christian Campbell is an example of a poet that creates content and culture for us to understand and enjoy ourselves better. All of these poets are. Beaumont Todd, shout out. So we have to go to a break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to read Remember When by Ona Bailey and then Mr. Gomez. Why, you don't look through these books and see if you could find a quick poem you want to read. Mr. Gomez. Yeah, I know you don't want to read, Mr. Newry. Let him see some of them books. We're going to a break. We'll be right back.
Are you ready for the best of the best? Keep the Vibe Alive Music Group up for sound promotion, and Guardian Radio presents the best of the best Reconscript Explosion Concert. Mark your calendars for May 11th as Superclub Ignite with Bahamian Talent, featuring KB, Gino D, Funky D, Veronica Bishop, The Brylanders, Avi, Elon Moxie, and Shine 242. Join the Falcons, Iron Store, Jovi Pierre, Johnny Cake, Mama D, Nishi LS, Pat Rami, Stevie S, and Shad Colley and the VIPs for an electrifying night of music and culture. Tickets are flying, so grab yours now. Available online at BahamasEtickets.com or swing by the Beauty Shack on Soldier Road and Carmichael Road. This is the event of the year. The best of the best Rake and Scrape Explosion at Breezes Resorts. Gates open at 6 p.m. Don't miss out on the Bahamian Magic.
Ready to save? You can put $100 into the CFAL Savings Express plan and make sure your money keeps growing. Earn interest on your savings while you're sleeping, eating, or standing in line at the bank. Ready to invest? Start by putting $1,000 into our mutual funds and earn interest there too. Because at CFAL, your interest is our interest. Visit CFAL.com to start now. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations of Bahamians.
Get ready! On May 4th and 5th, athletes from around the world will compete to secure their spot in the Paris Olympics. Come, witness history as our Bahamian athletes run against the world and chase the sun from paradise to Paris at the BTC World Athletic Relays here in Nassau, Bahamas, at the Thomas A. Ruby. Get your tickets now at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office or at BTC Mall at Marathon or BTC Southwest Plaza. BTC World Relays. Be there.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. We are celebrating April Poetry Month with Andrew Gomez and Mr. C.A. Newry. Okay, a texter sent me a poem. It's called Mango Dreams. Mango looked ripe. It was round and yellow and its skin was perfectly light. I tugged the mango. It didn't fall off. This mango was strong and really rough. Sexy, succulent, juicy, the mango had Bahamian beauty. But as I took a bite, I realized it wasn't ripe or tight. It was actually
ripe and tight mango. Go ahead, finish.
As I still search in the tree, hoping for a mango that's right for me, it will be worth it once it's mine. I hope it's my kind. Yellow succulent skin and juice that oozes out once I bite in. Sticky on my face, it must be. Juice around my mouth and threads in my teeth. Mango skin yellow and ripe, but don't fall for it.
The hairy mangoes. I don't like hairy mangoes.
The Caribbean has a love affair with mangoes.
I like mangolas.
If you want to know if you are an American Bahamian or if you're a Caribbean Bahamian, Do you have a love affair with...
Not mangoes.
You know that you Caribbean...
They're the ones that don't have hair, right?
I don't like them hairy stuff.
Yeah, I don't like them at all.
I like my mangoes trimmed.
That is the beauty of imperialism. That is the beauty of imperialism. The hairy mango or the juice mango is the best mango for mango nectar, for mango-based products. If we're going to have a mango industry of any sort, if we're going to reach the point where we say we welcome 9 million tourists to our country every year and each one of them can have a glass of mango nectar or mango lemonade, then we have to realize the value of the juice mango. Gentlemen, I don't like the aspersions that y'all were casting today. You are mango bigots. And as an agriculturalist, I would like to say that I oppose this bigotry that imperialism has set upon us. Did you know that H.G. Christie's father, Henry, was a poet laureate? Now, I'm not sure if he was a self-appointed poet laureate.
No, an international body named him poet laureate of the Bahamas.
Of the Bahamas, an international body.
Yes.
Okay, I'm cool with that. We ain't gonna get into all of that. But the point is, he was appointed.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, a real official title for because of the proliferation of how much he wrote. Now the idea of getting access to these poetry and making it a part of Bahamian history would be interesting.
Right. I just want to go back to that mango poem, right? I read the mango poem. Text is a great poem. I stopped reading the mango poem. We don't have enough time to talk about mango in the Caribbean consciousness, in Caribbean literature. In fact, one day I'm going to do a show. It's just going to be about the mango in Bahamian and Caribbean literature and poetry.
I have a mango poem.
I don't want to hear your mango poem.
Yeah, you should imagine how that mango poem go. So, how do we get in contact with Gomez, though, before he goes?
Yeah, Gomez, put out your information.
So I'm on social media, you know, all platforms at Andrew Gomez. Just type in my name and I can pop up.
Okay.
Simple, you know. All platforms at Andrew Gomez.
YouTube.
At Andrew Gomez.
X, Twitter.
Andrew Gomez.
Awesome stuff.
And can we hire you to perform or something like that?
Yeah, man. You could reach out to me. I mean, I could disclose my email. Because
here's what I'm saying, right? If I were an MC for weddings and events,
right.
I would want an improv poet on my team. I want somebody who could make up poetry from the scene.
Scenery, yeah.
Right. Audience throw out a topic.
Like those comics.
Yeah. An audience throw out a topic and you just run with something.
We could do all of that.
Yeah, man, that's valuable.
AndrewGomez.bookings@gmail.com. That's
bookings? You just a real thing?
Yeah, that's real. AndrewGomez.bookings@gmail.com.
Good stuff.
Can you do an improv type thing? I can picture that.
Yeah.
Like you're up front and you just interacting with the crowd.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that area.
No, I'm telling you, it is the next step in local live entertainment.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd say to anybody who's hosting an event, even a concert, you need people like that on your team. It just changes the nature of the event. And then every performance you do, every event you do will be different because you have this improv element included. And people feel like, How did they design this for me? They didn't even know it brings that allure. So we got to close out the show. Now, again, Mr. Gomez, I'm going to invite you back so you could help me with this discussion where we explore the place of the mango in the Caribbean consciousness. And as the producer plays that music, I'm going to read this poem by Ona Bailey, Remember When. Yeah, my auntie. But I love how she uses comedy, humor, to talk about a serious issue. Titter. You remember J.P. Sands, that old grocery shop? Used to be on Bay Street right in front of Prince George Dock. Grandma used to send Nadia long before she died. She always used to remind me to go on the western side. The first time I did gone there, I didn't know what side she mean. So I went to the side with the girls them. And my Lord, what a scene. I asked the girl for a half pound of lard and a pint of yellow grits. The way she suck her teeth and cut her eye, you would think she was having fits. I never went. That girl really make me shame. And the way the people stare at me, you would think I just make it to fame. Remember the Savoy Theater where they had the picture show? That's another place on Bay Street where us Negroes couldn't go. Down there on Charlotte Street, they had Queens College School. Now that was a funny mix-up place. Even there, they had the white-only rule. You ever see dark brown shades of white? Or white with kinky hair? Check the register. 30 years ago, you'll find discrimination with a flair. Now, you know, think all of this is bad, but you ain't hear nothing yet. Wait till you hear about the house of God. Then you're going to really get upset. Look at Trinity Methodist Church. Tall, beautiful, and wide. The white folks went through the front door. For the black folks, there was a door at the side. Then there was Cathedral, situated on Marlboro and George Streets. To keep the black folks out, they used to charge for their seats. Now imagine discrimination in a church called Calvary. If I could remember right, that was where Christ died for you and me. Anyway, Titta, we done passed through all of that. We could go where we like, do what we like. Some of we could even be aristocrat. Owner Bailey, 1978. Thank you, Mr. Andrew Gomez. Thank you, Mr. C. Producer, for that time. You've been on the clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.